This call is being recorded.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, it's Deborah Evans. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Brother Gary Kervin.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, brother? This is Mona. How you doing?
Blessed and highly favored like you. How are you?
Yes.
Praise God.
Good morning, this is Yvette. Really? Good morning, this is Yvette.
Good morning, Yvette. I don't think the leaders are here yet. Good morning.
Oh, I heard a couple people say good morning. Okay.
Okay, what's up, Yvette? Hey, what's up, dog?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, it's Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara. JC.
Good morning, JC. Good morning, Barbara. Good morning, family. Miss D.
Hey, Miss D. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dee Dee. Good morning, Dee Dee. Good morning. Welcome to the Tech Victory. This is Barbara, who's on the line.
Good morning, Barbara. It's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Barbara. This is Brother Gary.
Good morning, Brother Gary.
Good morning, everyone.
This is Mona.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, whoever that was.
Mona. Hi. Happy Thursday.
I'm trying to get ahead of myself. Happy Tuesday.
No, I said Thursday. Happy
I
Tuesday.
Did, so that's why I said Happy Tuesday. I'm trying to get ahead of myself.
Yes, God bless. This is Mona.
Good morning, Barbara. It's Susie.
Good morning, Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Yvette.
Good morning, Yvette.
Yo, 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 what's up, family?
Morning, Brother E.
Morning, Brother E.
Morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Declared Victory. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning, family. This is Sister Veronica.
Good morning, Sister Veronica. I am trying to find my.
Good morning, Barbara. Hey,
Ben.
It's Lisa.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. You got a pen, Barbara? Take my number.
Oh, yes, I sure do. I'm ready.
209
uh-huh.
597 597 1630.
1630. Okay, Lisa, I'll call you. Guys, just be patient with me. I'm trying to find our calendar so I can go on.
I have it, Barbara. I'll send it to you.
Okay. My computer, whenever I wanted to do something, do what it wanted to do. Moni, I have that part, but I don't know who is the declarer today or the prayer person.
Is there?
Go ahead, Didi, if you got it.
Yes, you have it. Somebody have it. Go ahead. I was looking because it's 6:07. Before we move forward, we ask that you mute your lines so that we can proceed with the call. Good morning. My name is Barbara Cockrell. I am going to be your host today. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. The theme for December is focus. Prepare to focus on the things of the Lord in a whole new way. As followers of Christ, we have to focus on what matters and remove all distractions. Be sure to tune in daily. You don't want to miss the teachings, stories, and lessons that the declarers are preparing as they hear from God for his people. There are no announcements today. I don't think
hey, Barb, I do have one quick prayer request.
Okay, thank you.
It's for Renee Hyler Williams. And if we could just keep her lifted over the next couple of days. She is bedridden. She had a fall and it really kind of tweaked her. So if you guys would just keep her in your prayers. That's it.
Thank you. The order of the call for today is the decoration will be done by Dion, the midwife. Praying and corporate prayer will be done by Angela. Then we will go right into the closing comments hosted by Dion. The order of the call today is the decoration will be done by Dion. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Sister Angela. At this time, I ask you to put your phones on mute until instructed to come off of mute. I now pass the call to the declarer for the day, which is Miss Dion.
Well, I was just talking. My Shana and I was not working. Amen, amen, and thank God. Happy Tuesday. I was going to say Wednesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone. I'm praying that today finds you well and that your heart and mind is full and ready to receive that which the Lord has a desire to share with us on today. Really quickly, before I begin, I just want to make a special petition on this coming Sunday. I will post a banner in the room today a little bit later on. We're actually partnering with PSBC, and we will be distributing sleeping bags and gloves and hats and some additional miscellaneous things for homeless. And we are asking for donations of any sort, hats, gloves, scarves, as many sleeping bags as we can get would be absolutely amazing. And I just want to thank you in advance for helping us do the work, and whoever that is that just cleared your throat, it would be great if you would mute your line for me. Amen. Our goal is to provide 100 sleeping bags. I think we probably have like probably 45, 50 so far. So we're working on making sure that we are able to make that happen on this Sunday. And if in fact you're interested in going, or maybe even you have a youngster, as the children have done most of the prep work for this particular event, if you have a child that's in high school and needs volunteer hours, this is a perfect opportunity for them, as we are a registered 501c3. Amen. Amen. So that's a huge part of what the Clear Victory is about. I know it's Christmas time and folks are doing Christmas gifts and toys for tots, but my heart is still very passionate about assisting those that don't really have a bunch of options, and Christmas is not necessarily at the forefront of their mind. It's cold outside, so we want to see if we can cut some of that for someone. Amen. Amen. So right before I begin to share this morning, I want to pray, as today's declaration is a little bit delicate. The reading will be lengthy, but I promise if you stay with me, I believe that it will bless you the way that it blessed my heart this morning, and it absolutely blessed my heart. So most gracious and heavenly Father, have your way. Cover every heart and every mind. Lord God, let our spirits and our souls be like sponges. For your word says, beloved, I would that you would prosper even as your soul prosper. And so this morning, Lord God, I'm praying for prosperous souls. I'm praying for brokenness to be repaired, as only you could do it. There's no other way for us to transition and transcend without your glory. So this morning, God, I pray that you would send your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and God, I bless you. Amen. So this morning's shares is going to come from John, the 11th chapter. John, the 11th chapter, and I won't delay the time, but it's lengthy reading, but I promise you, if you go with me, it has red letter text. That's one of my favorite, because we get to hear this morning from Jesus, and we get to experience the Spirit in a different way, because here Jesus literally speaks to us, and it's such a delicate text. It is the tale of Jesus and the resurrection of Lazarus. And the Lord showed me some things in the word last night that I'm not necessarily sure that my heart had been prepared to receive. Today's teaching will be about your heart posture. And so our goal, because our theme for this month, because we're going into a season where things have shifted. I don't know about any of you guys, but my entire life has shifted in a very short period of time, and it is all a direct result and a direct response to his glory. Literally, the experiences that I've had have been a direct result of his glory. So this morning, I want to encourage you to focus on his glory. If you have it available, a pen and some paper would probably be good right up and through here, as I'm going to show some things to you that I would love for you to revisit in your own personal study time. Now, a certain man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. It was the Mary that anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters set out word, saying, Lord, our brother and your friend whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. First pen. On the contrary, it is for the glory and honor of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved and was concerned about Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and considered them dear friends. So even when he had heard that Lazarus was sick, listen, he stayed in the same place 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let's go up and go back to Judea. The disciples was like, but Jesus, Rabbi, teacher, the Jews were only recently going to stone you, and you were thinking of going back there again? Jesus answered and said, second pen, are there not 12 hours of light in a day? Anyone who walks in the daytime does not stumble, because he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. He said this, and after that said, oh, friend, Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him. And the disciples answered and said, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. He'll be fine. However, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was referring to natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, listen, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called Didymus, the twin, or the photographic light, said to his fellow disciples, let's go up too. Listen, third pin, that we may die with him. So then Jesus arrived and found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to see Martha and Mary and comfort them concerning the loss of their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary remained sitting in the house. And then Martha said, Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give to you. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise. He'll rise from the dead. Martha replied, I know that he'll rise from the dead in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, relies on me as Savior will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior, listen, will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe and continue to believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the Son of God, he who has destined and promised to come into the world, and you did it for a world, and we have waited. After she had said this, she left with her sister. She left and called her sister Mary privately, whispering to her, the teacher is here, and he's asking for you. And when she heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. So when the Jews were with her in the house, comforting her, they saw how quickly Mary got up and left the room. They followed her, assuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. They must have been from Richmond, because you know, when we see somebody move, we move just like that. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews had come with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved. He demonstrated empathy to the point of anger, because he was frustrated because he couldn't comfort them and they didn't believe that he said he was going to raise him from the dead, and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" He was a little bit annoyed at that point. They said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept, and I questioned why he wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him as a close friend." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the blinded eyes have kept this man from dying?" So Jesus, again, deeply moved to the point of anger and frustration at this point, approached the tomb. These jokers think I'm a joke. It was a cave, and a boulder was laying against it to cover the entrance. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha and the sister of the dead man said to him, "Lord," and he called him the dead man. He didn't call him Lazarus, nor did he call him friend. "Lord," by this time, there has to be an offensive odor. He's going to be stinky, for he has been dead for 4 whole days. It is hopeless. Have you ever had a hopeless moment and it seemed like everything was in the way? And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God, the expression of his excellence?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes towards heaven and said, "Listen, listen, listen, Linda. Father, thank you. You that have heard me, I knew that you always hear me. I know that you always listen to me, but I have said this because the people standing around, so that they may believe that you have sent me." See, because they think that I'm a joke, and that you have made me your representative when you have said this. He shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" Came a man who had been dead, his hands and his feet tightly wrapped in burial clothing, linen strips, and with burial cloth wrapped around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and release him." So then many of the Jews who had come with Mary and who were eyewitnesses to what Jesus had done believed in him. But some of them were legalistic, and they went dry snitching to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So I just want you to focus on the glory this morning. I want you in your sanctified imagination to recognize that when Jesus walks into a room and his glory sets in any place and is established there, something happens. For some odd reason, when his glory is made manifest, your heart begins to change. And at some time, I feel like mine tends to slow down just so I can find a rhythm in him. And there's little things on the inside of me that I can literally feel him cutting back and moving away so that he can get the more of him into me. And as I was reading this text, and I know we've heard this story a zillion times, I used to always wonder when we refer to the shortest prayer in the Bible, Jesus wept. I was trying to figure out, why would he cry? And I was feeling like he was grieving his friend, but that would be absolutely asinine, because he knew that he was just sleeping. And then I remember when he said, "I'm glad I wasn't there when he died, because he my friend, I love him." I would have instantly told him, "Man, get up, watch out, don't do that, don't play with me like that, that's disrespectful, get up, you know I'm the Messiah, you're doing too much." right? Because he didn't want to feel the pain of the loss. But what I recognize as I continue to study just the entomology and that topography, the timeline of what happened in those days, it was customary that within an 8-hour period, the deceased would be buried because it was toxic. There wasn't embalming. They would be wiped down with frankincense and myrrh. They would be oiled and wrapped and gauzed and all of the different things. And it was imperative because of the heat and the climate. That 8-hour time period was not only adhered to, but it was borderline mandatory to keep from being infested by disease. And so when I considered the fact that Jesus heard about his death and he knew the 8-hour time frame, he was familiar with the customs and the traditions, he knew the rituals and the routines, he came to demonstrate his glory, and his glory redirects, reassesses, reattests any system that's instituted. He didn't care about the customary processes. He didn't care about the routines and the rituals of the reality that 8 hours after somebody had, someone's spirit had left their body, that it was considered a wrap. She said it was hopeless. Jesus created a twofold thread of being deity, of being God and man at the same time. He demonstrated empathy. And even though he wasn't sad because his friend had been sleeping, he understood that he had to get up because it was the example of the resurrection. And even though Mary understood that he could do whatever, I don't necessarily know that she really understood that he could physically, after 4 days, after 3 days and 18 hours after he should have been in the ground, that God had the power to institute a new principle based upon his glory. Nothing more. Right? Sickness had to be eradicated when he was in the room. Right? Anything dark was illuminated. As you see, Thomas demonstrates the idea of not only a twin, like you see, he was considered doubting Thomas, but now he's considered Thomas the twin, or the photographic lens, which means it sheds a different form of light. He was the one that didn't necessarily know if that was really what was going on. I see you and I hear you and all of that, but I ain't really sure about you, cuz I'm still checking for you. And as I continued to read, and I realized that that not only did Jesus make sure that he was dead, he went extra and great lengths to make sure that not only was he dead, but he was so dead that he was fragrantly dead, that he stunk, that there could be no question that he wasn't just taking a nap, that there could be no guesswork that he wasn't just resting in a tomb, that he hadn't been buried on accident. He made sure that he had been wrapped up, that he had been tied up in whatever old systems they were accustomed to. See, have you ever noticed that our lives are just a replica of more of the same of what we see? And I know Mary and Martha both, knowing that Jesus was their friend, were hot as fish grease, super duper annoyed, blood. You are the change. You walk in a room and everything turns around. Why would you not come here hearing that our brother had died? But Jesus said, it's necessary. I got to do it for the glory of God. It's mandatory. And even when he walked in the room and them jokers were still second guessing his grace. You ever been somewhere and they still second guess you? You done paid all the dues. You still paying them. And they looking at you side-eye like you did something wrong. Then he said, are there not 12 hours in a day? I know y'all used to the 8-hour thing. I know y'all used to these short time spans. I know y'all used to your methodologies and your processes and your rituals and your routines. I know you're used to your habits. I know you are accustomed to being around people who don't believe nothing but what they've experienced. See, sometimes God has to create an interruption to be the solution. Have you ever noticed that when you find your purpose, for those of you that have, sometimes God will create an interruption. He will interject you in a life simply to constitute and institute a change if you operate in Holy Spirit power. If you're moving around the way that God designed you to move around, you should be interrupting lives everywhere you go. Hell should be hot that you got up this morning. There should be a frustration and a charge in the atmosphere when you walk in a room because things that were should no longer have the power to be because you are the light of the world and the resurrection, the truth, and the life lives on the inside of you. Right? So, even when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, listen, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there. I'm going to go wake him up. Quit tripping. And the disciples was like, wait, cuz if he just fell asleep, then he'll recover, right? And Jesus again reiterated, no, listen, he dead and everything. Like that really happened. Like, I didn't just make that up. And then in 15, he says, and for your sake, not for mine. I know I'm God. My daddy know I'm God. The folks, my mama know I'm God. Pops, they know I'm God. They know I'm Jesus. They know I run this. And then Thomas, right? There's that second perspective. It's almost like he got made over again just going through this process as all of them did. Something happened and his doubt turned into understanding because guess what he said? Let's go die with him. There's this thing on the inside of me that has a feeling that when Lazarus died, there's something that superimposes and happens exponentially when you go to sleep. There's a recharge that happens. There are downloads that happen. There are restructures and recalibrations that happen when you not only sleep, but when you rest and you rest in Jesus. And considering Jesus knew that he was going to go to sleep or die, as it says, it was his responsibility to everything. Them 4 days, I have a feeling, just like he did with Adam, when he put him to sleep, he started superimposing his will in his heart and in his mind. I got a feeling he started telling him how great he was and that he came that he might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you ever felt like you had died just about? You was not just sleeping. Sometimes we sleepwalk, but have you felt like you were at the place where you trying to figure out, what am I doing this for? Why am I here? Like, I'm doing the same thing over and over and over and over, and nothing is changing, and you bound up and you wrapped up, and your hands are tied with the linens of the grave clothes, and something on the inside of you during that course of that period, if you would learn to focus on his glory. And then Jesus arrived and realized that he was in the tomb, right? And they on that walk, and I'm sure Mary and Martha, while they walking, because it's 2 miles from this place to that, and I'm knowing they thinking to themselves, this is some foolishness, honey. What in the world are we doing? However, there was something about that Martha, as angry as she was. She was like, listen, honey, this joker got some strength. He can do something. He might be able to shake up a little something. And she went and she told Mary, she left Mary sitting there, you're going to do what you've been doing. You still sitting in the same spot? He done got up and cut and went here, there, and you still sitting there, huh? That's all right, honey. Mary was a doer. I mean, Martha was a doer. She had business. Lord, if you had been here and I could see her neck rolling as she met him on the path, I'm telling you, they was from Richmond, y'all. They had some Richmond tendencies. I could see her neck rolling and her hand on her hip, honey. And I don't know if she was built up like me or she was built up like Sabrina or Didi, but I could just see her hand resting in the middle of the cleft of her back, honey, and her leaning to one side like, N-word, where you been? Listen, even right now, I know whatever you ask your daddy, he gonna do. I'm gonna need you to get to asking because my brother is over there in that cave and it's probably cold, honey. And we got some stuff to do. And I was told you was this Jesus and I'm trying to believe in you. But if you don't do something about this, my brother business and being in this tomb, we about to have some problems, cuz. I could see her face. Yeah, your brother get up and Jesus gave her the hand. I could see him doing the shoe fly, don't bother me. And as I begin to continue to just, as my dear friend Patrick Foster would say, tiptoe through the text, I love that Jesus said this with her and all her foolishness, hand on her hip, neck rolling and all. Listen, check this out. I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me and adheres to what I say? Who trusts and relies on me? I know you had your system. I know you have your method of doing things. I know you've been doing the same thing, the same way, for the same amount of years, over and over again. Uncle so-and-so and them died. Y'all ain't even had the wherewithal. Because see, technically what should have happened is you should have been able to tell Lazarus to get up. You should have been able to say, honey, ain't nobody doing that. We will have time to die. We still got business. I'm going to need you to get it together. Honey, go get some oil and let's push this plate back. Me, you, and about 3-4 other folks. Let's get a good prayer chain going. And I'm talking about some real people. I ain't talking about no woe is me, Lord, my toe hurt. I'm not talking about none of them. I don't need none of y'all to pray for me. If you still praying for your toe hurting, do not pray for me. I repeat, do not. I don't need that. And she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed and I continue to believe. Now, at this point, she being a fruit fly, because as bad as she want to have attitude, she know what time it is. She know what's up, right? And so as I kept going through the text, and when I got to the place where Martha had went and got Mary, was like, listen, Jesus looking for you. And it says that she jumped up and took off running. And everybody that was in the room, they thinking she's going to have a little breakdown. Man, listen, I'm not tripping off that. She said, Jesus want me. When the last time he called your name and you jumped up and everybody around you knew wherever you was headed, they needed to be too. See, that's the kind of impact we need to have in every atmosphere that we walk in. They may not say it. That's cool. You know you want to go. Come on, let's kick it. It's good. That's the kind of effect you need to have to be able to get people to Jesus and his glory, not yours, right? Not your gifts, not your talents, not your all your antics and your thought processes, but literally, she didn't say nothing. She got up and got to moving, right? She got up and started moving around. And then it says, and when Mary came to the place where Jesus was and she saw him, get this, she didn't do what Martha did. She immediately fell at his feet, which is symboling of worship. She knew that there was something about worship that would make the difference. It would change the system and it would cause his glory to come forward. Did you know that when you worship, that's what you were created to do? When you worship, I know you might be uncomfortable. I know you might be frustrated. I know your change might be strange and your money might be funny. I know your husband may not be acting right. Your children are going through, but there's something about Lord, if you had been here, see her attitude, her heart posture, her disposition was extremely different than her sister, right? Sometimes your fight changes lanes. That's that photographic lens that Thomas represents. That's that twin. That's that other side that he's trying to get to. That's that singularness. And if you can mute your phone, that'd be great, whoever you are. That's that other part of who you don't even know yet. That's the one that's still disguised in all of that ookie, hip holding, back hunching, neck rolling, eye rolling, teeth sucking persona that you've established to front. You don't even know who you are. But when you fall at his feet, listen. And when Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who had come with her also sobbing, listen, Mary was so humble. She was so fly-witted. She was so lady. Everything about her was graceful and quiet and poised, and it wasn't in the noise, and it wasn't in the fire. It was in the still, small voice, and I could hear her. I don't know about anybody else, but I've been a wife, and I know what it looked like when I'd be like, hey, how are you? You know that tone, we switch that thing up. You know, the one that does something to your heartstrings. But listen, Mary was so gangster with it. She didn't just sob. Her tears were so authentic. Her worship was so raw and real and full of passion and pain. Simultaneously, that photographic lens was working, and everything she needed to be, she was in the moment, and it provoked his glory. But still, Jesus was frustrated. He was frustrated because he had already told them what he was going to tell them. He had already did what he was going to do. It just hadn't caught up to his word yet. See, one of the things that we forget about is that there are promises that belong to us if we believe, if we don't get caught up in the systems of the custom, if we allow ourselves to be broken before him and fall at his feet, that even in our sad places, even in our broken places, even in our broke places and tired places and lonely places, he's still, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Where you laid him at? Man, I'm here. Let me quit playing with y'all. But listen to this. And the Lord, they said, Lord, come and see. And he wept. And he didn't cry because Lazarus was dead. He didn't cry because Mary cried. He demonstrated empathy in the proper time because his heart posture was connected to the heart of God. But the resemblance of him crying was that you still don't get it. You still don't get it? I don't operate like you operate, silly. I don't move around like you move around. I don't do what you do, how you do it, and I don't have to. I'm not bound by your system. Right? He loved Lazarus. It took discipline not to turn around and go back there. It took self-control. It took deity mindset. It took a specific heart posture not to go boss up and be like, I'm Jesus. I don't got to come there. I can take it up, boy. Right? And so, but some of them said, could not this man who opened the blind man's eyes, ain't this just like the N-words? When he opened, I thought he had healed the blind. I thought he had healed the blind man the other day. Couldn't he have kept him from dying? You buster! If you don't back up and have several seats, and so Jesus said again, deeply moved. He was hot. He probably wanted to slap him. I probably would have. He tried it, right? He approached the tomb. It was a cave, and a boulder was laying against it and against the entrance. Take the stone away. Move it. Move. I ain't moving nothing. I could tell it to move. But what y'all going to do is you going to work for this cotton-picking miracle that I already said was a miracle. Stupid, dumb, ugly girls. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time he going to be stinky. I don't care nothing about that. Don't you know I can make him fragrant? If I can raise him from the dead, he could take a bath. Girl, bye. Don't do that. Right? And then she had the nerve to say it is hopeless. So then Jesus, look, Jesus pulled out his Cadillac Broham at this point. Didn't I say? Didn't I say that if you believe? Look here. He said this, if you believe, not if you try to roast me, not if you come worship me and cry and fall all out and make everybody feel sorry for you. Because you know that the folks that followed her felt sorry for her too. Didn't I say that you will see my glory? The expression, listen to this, of my excellence. So I guess they had to be like, well, yeah, I guess you did say that. So they took the stone away. And Jesus raised his eyes. And he said, Father, thank you. With all things, prayer and supplication, with thanks, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. He demonstrated his gratitude first, that he understood who he was, and that he had not been capsized, nor the agenda of kingdom or glory capsized by the systems that the world had created to hold time still, because he understood he wasn't bound by time. I know that you always hear me and listen to me. That's him telling you and me, listen, because he lives on the inside of us, we can say this same prayer. Father, thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you'd always hear me and you listen to me, but I have said this because of the people. Listen, I have said this because of the people standing around because they dumb. I have said this because of the people standing around because they borderline retarded. I've said this because they act like they got their fingers in their ears. I'm saying this so that they understand, so that they may believe that you have sent me and that you have made me your representative and that now we're the representatives. Remember the lesson that I taught last week? Listen, the week before last, it just changed hands. When he had said this, he shouted, Lazarus, come out. Now, final point. Lazarus gets up out of the tomb. We hear this story all the time. He comes out with his burial clothes on. They have to unwrap him. Isn't it amazing that when God's glory shows up and changes you, right? Because now I'm going to take you back to the custom and the time. People would come from afar off. It wouldn't just be your local family members and friends that would come to grieve and to mourn. You study it yourself. It would be a collaboration of people, professional mourners, where some of them, some friends and family from distant places, whoever could get there within 8 hours came. So I can only imagine that this was a new set of friends, right? Isn't it amazing that when God's glory shows up and begins to change you and transform you, you still be bound, you still be wrapped up, you still be caught up in the customs and the systems and the traditions, because he was still wrapped up in what they used to wrap dead people up. Even though he had sent word and said that he was sleeping, they still went through the customs, they still went through the traditions, they still went through the process of putting him in burial garb, right? So much so that he needed help getting loose. And we know, we've seen that whole exhibit. I'm sure you've seen it in 1,500 plays. But I need you to understand that when God's glory changes you, some of your surroundings will have to change to accommodate how bound you are. Right? So you can't necessarily have friends that are arthritic in their hands because they won't be able to properly untie you. It may be a little bit difficult for you to have friends that are, and I'm not high side, and I need you to hear the perspective, that are locked up or in a foreign place or, you know, afar off or any of those things. You need somebody that can get close up and personal, that can bear the weight of your stench. Because quite frankly, even after God superimposes his glory on us and teaches us how to focus on getting in the presence of his glory, we still got some really stinky tendencies that consistently work cooperatively with the fact that we're bound. And Jesus said, so unwrap him. And so then, listen, so then many of the Jews who had come to be with Mary were eyewitnesses of what Jesus did, and they believed him. Right? And I'm certain that the ones that believed him were the ones that helped him get loosed. You just better make sure that your company believes him and that your company is operating cooperatively with the Spirit of God, and they're not working to keep you bound. See, because sometimes, especially if you tied up, let me tell you a little secret. Every now and then, the enemy will send somebody that you thought was part of your agenda, that you thought was part of God's agenda, and they'll be part of the enemy's agenda, and them they supposed to be untying your behind. Them jokers be tying knots in real life. And you find yourself stuck and stagnant trying to figure out why you can't get loosed and why you can't get out. You better be careful who you let untie you. You better be paying attention to who you let untie you. Beloved, above all, I would that you would prosper even as your soul prosper. And so, God, I pray this morning as I prepare to pass it to Angela that you would guard our hearts and minds. And that you would help us to take an inventory of who's untying us. And if we're focusing on even making an attempt to experience his glory, because it's in his glory, lives transform. So I thank you, Lord God, for your transformational power this morning as I pass the call to Angela. Angela, if you're praying, we can't hear you. And let me see if I see her on the line. If not, Dan, Bree, Dee Dee, one of you guys pray, or Bev.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for your glory. We simply take a moment and thank you for your life-changing glory. God, when your glory enters the room, the focus shifts from our purpose, our selfish desires, our selfish needs, our selfish agendas. And the only thing matters is your glory. We thank you for freedom today. We thank you for the power that's in your word, the life-shifting, life-changing power. We thank you, God, just for the opportunity to be free. Free indeed. God, we thank you. Your word is amazing. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you for the surgery you just performed on our hearts this morning. My God, you are amazing. Not only do we know you as a good, good father, but we know you as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We thank you that you will not leave us bound in dead clothes. God, we thank you that you will not leave us in a tomb, but that you have the resurrection power. You are the resurrection and the life, and you call us and say, come forth. God, we thank you for those that you have strategically placed around us, and we ask that you will give us the discernment to know who is to loose us, who is to help push us towards our destiny. God, I just thank you for everyone that heard this word. I thank you, God, that we were able to focus on your glory, God, and I thank you for the lives that are shifting and changing. Even as we pray, in my head, God, I see hands lifted high, stretched forth towards your glory, and I feel the spirit of worship. So as we begin to take our phones off of you, focusing only on your life-shifting glory, we worship you as Lord. Just as Mary and Martha called you Lord, we worship you as Lord, but we do it knowing that our situation is not dead because your glory is present. So we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. We thank you that there is nothing too hard for you. We thank you that 8 hours, 12 hours in your presence, you transcend time.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
We thank you for an opportunity to show forth your glory. We thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders. We thank you for what you are.
turned out to be a miracle. We thank you that victory looks like defeat. We thank you that you are the God of all miracles, and you are yet alive. We thank you for your glory, God. And I pray that the glory will fill the room. Fill every cubicle. Fill every bathroom. Fill every bedroom. Fill every office. Let the glory fill the room. Hallelujah. We
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our prayer is that your glory will follow us everywhere we go, into the marketplace, in our cars, even in our closets, from room to room in our house. Your glory leads us, Your glory follows us. Your glory motivates us to stay focused on you. We worship your majesty. Victors, as we place our phones back on mute, thank you for your collective worship this morning. As you place your phones back on mute, we are grateful for you helping to set the atmosphere on this morning. And I now pass the call back to Dion.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to just let us sit in this for just a second, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to give us an opportunity to say good morning this morning. I know that I said a lot and I cracked myself up a lot this morning. But I have a feeling that God may have done some of his good work, as they say in the singing communities. I have a feeling that there were some sutures placed in proper places and some scalpel incisions that were necessary to get you from glory to glory. And there's somebody that's in their car. You have your phone on speaker. So I'm going to ask that you say good morning first and then you mute because I'm echoing to myself. Who is that? Good morning. Okay. Well, you don't have to say good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, honey bun.
Diva.
We know who you is, girl. Go ahead, babe. Go ahead when you're done, fine.
Diva. Diva.
Yes, he is good all the time, Princess. He absolutely is. I love you.
Good morning, Victory family. This is Pam. I love you guys. Have a blessed day.
Hey, good morning, Pam. Happy Tuesday. Good morning. Anybody else?
Good morning. It's Diane.
Hey, Diane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Debbie.
Hey, Devilini.
Good morning.
Good morning, family. This is Pam.
Hey, Pammy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Juju. And who else was that?
That was Bree Bree. You didn't preach me late to work.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. No. It wasn't me. I had fun this morning. I felt like I was at the club. Good morning. Who else?
Good morning. This is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
it's Kenya.
Carla.
Hey, Kenya. And who else did I hear?
Carla.
Hi, Carla. Good morning.
Good morning. It's me, April. Dee, you bless me. Thank
hi,
you.
Hi, me, April. Amen. Amen. Good morning, sister.
Good morning, it's Natasha.
Hey, Tosh. Good morning, hon.
Good morning, Pamela.
Hey, Pi, Pam. Superwoman.
Blessings, Dee Dee. It's Renee. Good morning.
Hey, Nene. Hey, honey bunch. Did you get my text message? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Who was that?
I said good morning. It's Victoria. I love you all.
Hey, Victoria, good morning. We love you back, honey bunch.
Good morning. This is Lucia.
Did you say Lucille?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Lucille. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning, it's Latasha.
Hey, Latasha, good morning. I'm going to need a shot of testosterone.
Good morning, Mrs.
Twinkle. This is who, babe? I'm sorry.
Twinkle.
Hey, Twinkle girl. You messy. You super silly. Hey, man. Anybody else? I mean, where's all these men I'm looking at on this line? Where y'all at? Y'all play too much.
Good morning, sis. It's Keith.
Hey, Keith, there you go. I needed to hear me a man.
Yeah.
Good morning, yes, Diane. Oh, hey, Diane. Good morning.
I have a short acknowledgement to read from Emma from her dissertation to declare victory.
I'm sorry, Di. You cutting in and out.
I said I have a short acknowledgement from Emerald from her dissertation
okay.
to read. And
okay.
she told me specifically to read it to everyone. It says, to my faith community, there has been a blessing on my life and a hedge of protection around me. And I know that it is ever present because of your fervent prayers. To Pastor James, which is my pastor, New Creation, and Declare Victory family, you are all dearly loved and appreciated. And to my friends and family who have all stood beside and cheered me on and managed with my absence, thank you for your support and understanding. And that is from her dissertation in the front of her book. Thank you all for keeping her lifted up during all these hard times and praying for her. My husband and I really appreciate all of you, and we love you dearly. That's it.
Amen. 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 Diane, tell Emma we said thank you, and we love her, and it is our pleasure.
Amen. Since you never hear from me in the morning,
I know
because
you were muted. I just saw it. I unmuted you. I didn't do it, though. It wasn't me.
Well, yo, yo. What's up, little sis? What's up, family?
Yo, 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 yo. What's up, big boy?
Hey, Dion.
Hey. Who is that, Lisa?
Me.
Oh, that's Rufan.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, girl.
You know, I'm super emotional right now.
Don't be. It's
okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. You know what yesterday was.
Mhm. It's okay. We're not gonna revisit yesterday because today is a whole new one.
That's why I want to say you know what yesterday was when me and you said
mm-hmm. you
that.
Did
okay.
Good.
Okay.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know
done.
Exactly what it was.
Done.
It's all gravy.
Done, son. Yesterday, we good.
Amen. Good stuff.
Good morning, Sister
Amen.
Catherine.
Good morning, Sister Catherine.
Good morning.
Anybody else? Amen. Amen. So we'll jump right into the discussion. I don't want to. I won't hold you guys for length of days, but certainly I want to open the floor if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, any of that. Y'all waiting for me to come up with commentary? I ain't gonna do it. I refuse.
Pastor Amen. Dion.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Pam. Hello, good morning. Thank you. Oh, that was. Thank you for breaking down that Bible the Bible scripture like that. It was such a blessing. I'm just saying something really kind of funny, but ouch, when you said, don't ask for prayer for your hurt toe. I'm like, I thank God he's grown me to, he's just grown me so much in terms of prayers like that. It was like an ouch, like I had to ask myself, and I'm like, no, I don't pray for the hurt toe anymore. So I just thank God so much for that. You know,
graduated.
Strengthening.
Yay.
Me. I've graduated, girl. I'm like in junior high now.
That's
but
good.
I just praise
That's
God.
Beautiful.
I praise God so much. Yes, it really is. Glory to God.
That
so,
is. Like,
God
listen,
bless
and,
you.
And don't even take that part lightly. I'm not being funny, right? You
mm-hmm.
go from glory to glory. Everybody has their method and their process. You know what I'm saying? It's not, don't even trip. Everybody got to go through their motions how they got to go through them. You know, I used to pray for a hurt toe. Trust me.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Glory to God.
That's
amen.
All.
Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome, sweetie. Amen. Anybody else have anything? Amen. And I know today was a whole bunch of information, a whole bunch to process, and, you know, I'm more than willing to let you do that. I just pray that something that was said, if nothing else, gave you hope. Hope to keep going. Hope to know without a shadow of a doubt that God's plan is always going to be greater than yours. And that when he says he got you, need only believe, right? No matter what it looks like. And if you're going to worship, don't worship for an outcome. Worship for his glory, right? Like we can't, in this season, he's not going to allow us to manipulate him. That's all. He ain't really with it in this season. He's not super interested in playing our little pity-pat, hokey-poke game. But learning how to be empathetic, even when you don't get it or understand, Jesus was able to demonstrate that. Like, that's an attribute. That's a personality trait that'll carry you very, very far, is becoming all things to all men that you might gain one. Just go back and revisit the text and really spend some time really spend some time allowing it to bless your heart like it blessed mine. It blessed my heart. I swear it did. It blessed my heart. So with that said, if there are no questions or comments or anything like that, I'll give you guys back some time this morning. Completely up to you.
It's Kenya. I just want to say real quick, I'm waiting on that hood version. The way you break it down, like, I swear, don't nobody break it down like you. It just, it puts a whole different understanding on it. So thank you, love.
That's
everything. That was the message version. That was her message
yeah.
version.
Yeah, that's the
Dion
message
hood version.
Hood version
is what that is. I know, that's the hood version. Kenya, why you sounding like a dude? Good morning, sister.
It ain't gonna get
oh,
me. It's
God.
Trying though. He got me covered.
Mhm. That's heck of funny. Hello. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, this Mona. How you doing?
Hey, Mona. I'm good. How are you, babe?
I'm good. I'm with you here. Okay. Today was a trip because it was a lot. That reminded me of me and my sister. I don't know about me and my sister. And. Because the one, especially the one that sat behind, whenever she reminded me of me a little bit, a cat was always the one that get up and go and go. But especially when you, after my sister, come on, popping in my head, when you say, you know, when a person come in a room and the demands are like the attention, the people just want to go. Well, when we was in the world, I remember it was, all the time we was growing up, girls used to flock to my sister. Because I think they thought she was protecting them, or because my sister always had that type of presence. She'd come in the room and just, you know, it was crazy. I'm about to go off word testimony, but she had that type of, and it's a trip. Now, when I see the transformation that God has done in her, She still has that presence. But you know what I'm saying? But sometimes people just kind of look at her like she's crazy, can't believe that, oh my God, that's Kat. But it was a lot to me when I was listening to our reading with you, and it's a couple of me and my sisters just kept popping up. But the main thing also, do you believe when you ask, when you say, I am the resurrection and the life, and when you ask at the end, do you believe this? I just want to just keep sticking, do you believe this? Got to make sure you believe that moment, you know? So yeah, it's just a lot. I'm definitely going back, Deanna, read over again. I like it. I love how you put it. As always, you give it very clear. It's clear. You know, I like that too, of how Jesus was like, what? You know, I love it. I love the decoration today. It was just such a blessing. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Mona. I appreciate you. Amen. Anybody else have anything before we call? Amen. Well, with that said, I pray that you go and you grow in love, that you be the Jesus somebody needs to see when it's all said and done, right? When it's all said and done, I assure you that it'll all pan out in the wash, and I'm believing that God is going to make the difference in your life. I truly am. Amen. All right, guys, we'll have a fabulous, fantabulous day, and we will hear you in the morning. Don't forget backpack donations, hats, gloves, toiletries, any of that stuff, scarves, and so on and so forth. And tomorrow, Moses is teaching again on the activation of the gifts. If that has been blessing you, I dare you to grab a friend, a family member, a loved one, bring them in so that we can all start operating in our kingdom purpose so that God will get the glory out of our lives. Amen. It's a big deal, y'all, and it's happening right here on Declare Victory Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tell your homeboys, ma'am, okay? Amen. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day. God bless.
Love you, too.
Love you too. Have a blessed day, everyone.
All right, bye bye.
Love you, family. Have a Mm-hmm.